the world is coming in. I'm going to say that again. I'm living in a time that the church is what? The church is leaving out. The world is what? The world is coming in. Why? The church is leaving out because they haven't, amen, got an understanding about this book of Romans that is very important for us, that Paul was, amen, that was given unto Apostle Paul, amen, in order for us to understand how to live for God. Amen. This is an everyday thing. Every day, like I say, every day we get up, we getting in the ring. We is in the ring. We ain't know it. We is in the ring with the devil every day. The Paul said we are in a warfare. But yet this, amen, warfare is not carnal, but it's what? Mighty through God. Pulling down stronghold. The devil can come with a stronghold, amen, and you don't even much know it. It'll make you act silly. It'll make you do anything. It'll make you, amen, it'll make you, you see, that's what I'm saying. Each day we get up, amen, the devil's always trying to find a way to do what? To defeat us. Amen. Don't care how much you think you know the Bible. Thank God you know the Bible. Thank God you know the scripture. The scripture, that's what, you better know it. Amen. That's why David said a word that is hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. But he got an understanding, amen, of the word of God, how to live this life. Other word, he understood, amen, not just the justification of God. He understood the sanctification of God. And that is what? The cross of Calvary. And this is what the enemy don't want the saints to say. Don't want the saints. I'm not talking about the word, the saints, the believer. He wants you to shut up about the cross. Oh, you don't have to say the cross. You know, just say here. Just say, no, there's the cross. Or you don't have to say the cross. Just say he died. But it was the cross. The Bible said it's the cross. The cross is the object. It brings out and gives us the direction, amen. If it's not being done, amen, in the prescribed order that is given, you're going another way. Can I get a witness? You're going a different direction. You're going in your own way of wanting to do it your way. That's why I always say, once we get self out of the way and do it what God said, amen, then we begin to see God move and the Holy Spirit begin to work in our lives. The hardest people to lead, just like it was those Jews, amen. God had to what? He done time after time. He had to take them around through, amen, situation and take them around the mountain because they wanted their way. Can you say amen? They don't want it. They see, people don't want no leader. Amen. He, time after time, he had to take them around the mountain and keep them out in the wilderness. We have to ask them, maybe you out there in the wilderness because why? Because you're stubborn, because you're bullheaded, because you're not listening. You don't want it. Your mind is what? Your mind is trying to find a way to do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I don't care what the day, by the day pretty. I can't do it on my own. I don't know how. I don't know which way I'm going, but I do know which way. I've got my faith. I got my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. And each step I'm making, move I'm making, whatever position that I find myself in, and I don't know what's going to take place in there, I got faith in the cross that the Holy Spirit going to step in, and it's going to direct, and it's going to, amen, do whatever it takes in order for to direct me in the right order that I should live. How many hear what I'm saying? I can't do it myself. And that's what majority of the folks are trying to do it themselves. When I get it done, you ain't going to get it done. Jesus is the only one can get it done. Can you say amen? For sin shall not have dominion over me, over us. Amen. And it's easy said and done. Let me say it again. It's easy said and done. Then done. How many hear what I'm saying? So the question is, how can I get it done? Huh? How can I, amen, obtain this? How can I, amen, have, amen, dominion over this? How can I, amen, grow strength in this? How can I be victory in this? How can I have victory in this? Paul done gave it to us. How many hear what I'm saying? He done gave it to us. He gave it to us because he had to get it. He had to experience it. That's why God took him through what he went through in order to experience the finding, amen, in order to be able to give it to us. Can you say amen? That's why he keep us out of it. But see, sometimes we want to get it by come hearing it. That's good in its own. Try reading it yourself. Amen. I ain't going to take you to the restaurant. I ain't going to take you to the restaurant and feed, man. You're going to sit to the table and I'm going to sit there and do what? Feed you myself. You're going to what? Feed. You're going to feed yourself. You're going to eat and feed yourself. Can I get a witness? And this is what most of the believers want. They want to come to church and they want the preacher to do it all. But after he do what he was called and told to do, amen, then you go home and amen, you got to pick it up and read it and eat it for yourself. And then when you begin to hear a little of this and a little of that, then you're kind of confused about it. Is he saying it right? Read it for yourself. And then the Holy Spirit is going to begin to give you what? He's going to begin to have you understanding that what he's saying is what? It's right. That's why so many people are scared to say amen, because they don't what? They don't. Don't you know 80% of the Christians, they don't read this Bible like they should. We got more people on, amen. We got more people on Facebook and quote more scriptures now than ever had been.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is
power. You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Call your attention to the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. As you turn there, I want to just say how amazed I've been at how our Wednesday night worship service is growing. Amen. And it has just been a tremendous blessing to see how the Lord is moving on Wednesday nights here at Pleasant Hill. I was somewhat concerned when we made the transition, because we really have transitioned from a normal Bible study mode to we have church now on Wednesday nights. Our praise team is here, our musician is here, our choir is here, and we're singing and we are studying and getting the word. Amen. So if you have not caught the vision and made an effort to come out on Wednesday nights, I hope that this Wednesday you will make a special effort to come out and learn more about our God. Our subject that we started on this past week is about change. And that word change is synonymous to a word that ought to be familiar to most believers, and that word is regeneration. Or rebirth, the new birth. Amen. We're talking about change, and we're actually going to spend 3 weeks on that topic, change. So we dealt with this past Wednesday, we dealt with the necessity for change, and we talked about the fact that we need change, we need regeneration because of our natural degeneration. And that simply means that if we are left to ourselves because of sin that lies within us, we will get worse and worse and worse. Amen. Is there anybody here who knows that if you hadn't met Jesus, if he hadn't found you, amen, you were on a road to the wrong place. But thank God, amen, I met Jesus, amen. And so the part of the necessity for change is because we are naturally inclined to get worse and worse. But then also we talked about this Wednesday as it relates to the necessity for change. We talked about man's total depravity. And that just goes with any of us. And, you know, I know some of us like to come in church with these halos on our heads and act like we have never cussed and we have never lied and we've never been to some places that we shouldn't have gone and done some things that we should not have done. But see, this is Pleasant Hill. And our motto is that we are real people striving to serve a real God by ministering to the needs of a real world. If you come in here, you just may as well be real. Because guess what? God already knows. Tell your neighbor, God already knows your issues. He knows your stuff. Amen. And we thank God for a hospital like Pleasant Hill where we can come and get worked on. And amen. So tell your neighbor, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. And then the third thing that we talked about as it relates to the necessity for change, we talked about man's unsuitableness to God. And that simply goes to what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans. He said that the carnal mind is enmity against God and it cannot please God. All right. So in our natural state, nothing we do, I don't care how well you can sing, I don't care how well you preach, I don't care how long your dress is, and you can take the makeup off and don't wear any jewelry and all of that. Amen. But in our natural state, we are unsuitable to God. Ain't nothing we do can please him. So those are the three reasons that we need change. Now, this Wednesday, we're going to talk about the nature of change. And then the final lesson in the series on change, we will talk about the effects of change. So come and join us. Amen. In our Wednesday night worship experience. Tell your neighbor, nothing changes, if nothing changes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, there you will find these words. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now I know, thank you ushers, thank you ushers. Let's give a hand to the world's greatest usher. Amen. I tell you, I looked up at Johnson Temple this past Sunday. We were the guests for their church anniversary. And I tell you, Pleasant Hill ushers, y'all were up in there. Amen. We thank God for you ushers, for our choir, for all of you who went with us on last Sunday. Now, this passage that we just read is probably one of, if not the most quoted scriptures in the Bible when it comes to time to talk about change. Understand, my brothers and sisters, that nothing changes if nothing changes. Someone said that change is inevitable. Misery is optional. Some people imagine that it is possible to live life without change, but I would suggest to you this afternoon that we can do no more, amen, in our lives. We can no more live and not change than I can jump up and not feel the effects of gravity. Change is inevitable. Therefore, to live in this world and in this life is to experience change. And any thought that we can avoid change in life is pure illusion or delusion. Women have rights today just like men because something changed. Black folk can sit on the front of the city bus, even drive the bus, own the bus if we want to. Amen, because something changed. People no longer die in epidemic numbers from polio and influenza and smallpox because, thank God, something changed. Now, you need to understand that we can try to resist change and stay the way we are. Amen, but it's good to release ourselves from the resistance to change, because when we do that, we become really like that hot air balloon that goes up when you remove the weights of the sandbags that are tied to it. There's a freedom that comes, amen, when you allow change to take place, especially if it's positive change, if it is godly change. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the writer says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." In other words, there is some stuff in our lives that needs to change. In other words, I cannot be an effective witness for God. I can't be, amen, the preacher that God wants me to be if I would just stay like I was 21 years ago when I started pastoring. Now, I say that, and I don't ever want anybody to ever be fooled to think that I've arrived. Amen. I have not arrived at the height of perfection. And do you know why I can say that with a smile on my face? Because I know you haven't either. Amen. Is there anybody here who knows that, you know, just when you thought you could be comfortable in your praise, you could be comfortable in your prayer, you could be comfortable with the amount of time you spent in the Word of God, God circumnavigated the situations and circumstances of your life in such a way that you found yourself in a position or in a predicament that you had to get deeper in the Word. You had to find a higher way to give Him praise. You had to get more involved in the worship experience. Tell your neighbor one more time, nothing changes if nothing changes. Do y'all know what? If I keep doing what I've always done, I will keep getting what I've always gotten. And I'll keep feeling what I always felt. I've got to ask you this morning, Pleasant Hill, is there anybody here who's ready for a change? I believe some of us in here this morning might be ready for some changes in our lives. I believe it was Albert Einstein who said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you think you can do the same thing over and over and get a different result, Albert Einstein, not Garner, Albert Einstein said, "You crazy." Can I get a witness here today? We have to understand that nothing is going to change in our lives unless something changes in our lives. Now, I have to admit what many of you have perhaps realized in your own attempts at change. I must admit that change can be difficult. President Woodrow Wilson gave a very wise warning. He said, "If you want to make enemies, try to change something." Can I get a witness today? Do you know why that is? It's because change can be very threatening. Because change will bring with it a level of uncertainty. And because of that uncertainty, people develop an attitude or a spirit of fear. But we've got to remember what the Word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. The writer says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, I know that there are some of you who wish, amen, that I'd lose my mind, but I'm not going to lose my mind as long as I have Christ in my heart. And that's what's wrong with some of us, amen. We're always giving folk a piece of our mind.
I hear y'all all the time. She rubbed me the wrong. I give her a piece of my mind. And then wonder why you're crazy. You'd have given away so much of your mind, you ain't got no mind left. God wants us to have sound minds. Amen. Do you hear me, church? God wants us to be stable, folk. On your job, you ought to be the most stable thing on your job. I'm talking about when the furlough is coming through and the sequestration is coming, you ought to be the last one running around crying and talking, I don't know how I'm going to pay my, and I don't know how I'm going, and I don't know how. Baby, you need to pull out your faith file. You need to remember how the last time you didn't know where the money was going. You need to remember the last time, amen, when the bills were this high and the money was this high. But tell your neighbor, I still got a hamburger every now and then. I still got me a steak every now and then. So we ought not be fearful of change. As a matter of fact, change can be good. Change can be exactly what we need. Change can change some things. It happens with individuals. It happens with marriages. It happens with businesses, with organizations. And unfortunately, it happens even with churches. Amen. One of the scripture references from this past week's Bible study is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And that passage says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The simple interpretation of this scripture is change. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful consideration. Amen. That there can be a change in me. I don't have to stay the way I am. I don't have to be the person I am. I don't have to be a worrier. I don't have to be someone who is always despondent and looking sad and looking down. I don't have to be someone who sees gray skies when the rest of the world is seeing blue skies. I don't have to be bound by sin. I don't have to be destroyed by a lack of self-esteem. I thank God that when God comes into your heart and when the Holy Ghost comes into your life, a change is going to take place. Anybody in here can testify with me that I ain't what I ought to be? I ain't everything I should be. I'm really not even all I want to be. But I can thank God there has been some change in my life. Am I the only one in here who can testify that, amen, that as I've walked with God, there has been some change in my life? And I'm not asking you to lie. Y'all know I don't ask you to lie. Amen. Your testimony may be, oh, I used to cuss, but I don't cuss as much. I used to lie, but I don't lie as much. As a matter of fact, one of our little candidates for baptism today, back in the office, I asked them if they knew what sin was. And I was telling them that Jesus died for your sins, and they didn't really have it. I said, sin is the bad stuff that we do. And one little boy said, well, I sin a lot then. And I said to the young man, I said, well, you can thank God that you are now saved by the precious blood of Jesus, because if the truth would be told, that little boy ain't by himself. There are a whole lot of us that still sin a whole lot. But I thank God today that his blood covers the multitude of sins. Give him praise in this place. I see the saying everywhere I go these days, a saying that says, imagine life differently. Imagine your life without all the stuff that's keeping you from being happy. Imagine for a moment what it would feel like to get out of bed in the morning and truly be happy. Imagine for just a minute what it would be like to go through an entire day without feeling depressed or angry or jealous or unloved. But the good news is, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm trying to tell somebody that if you let Christ into your life, he can make a change in your life, a change that you can't make by yourself. And did you know that this verse of scripture is talking about the effect of change that happens in a person's life when they get saved? You see, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, immediately, say immediately, change begins in your heart and life. Now, that change doesn't happen completely overnight. But as soon as you accept Christ as your Savior and the Holy Ghost takes up residence in your heart, you are destined to change. Amen. You don't act the way you used to act. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't go the places that you used to go. You don't feel the way you used to feel. Something changes, and I'll tell you what it is. It's the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. You need to know today that God ain't gonna ever leave you like he found you. Did you hear what I said? I said he won't leave you the way he found you. Oh, I'm looking at some witnesses. I'm looking at some witnesses, amen. See, because as your pastor, I'm privy to some stuff that other folk are not privy to, amen. Y'all share stuff with pastor that you don't share with other folks, amen. And it's my job to keep it confidential and go to God in prayer for you that he will strengthen you. But I'm looking at some folk who used to, their testimony, your Mona used to be, I'm an alcoholic. But I'm looking at some folk who've come and said, Pastor, I put the bottle down. God has made a change in my life. I'm looking at some folk who used to be on crack, and you know, you've heard the report that crack is hard to get off of, but I'm looking at some folk whose testimony is, I used to be on the pipe, amen, but God delivered me from crack. You ought to give him praise in this place. He's never going to leave someone the way he found them. He's going to bless them. He's going to encourage them. He's going to strengthen them. He's going to forgive them. He's going to heal them inside and out. He's going to raise them up, cause them to stand above the people that used to put them down. Something changes. I've got to be honest with you that before I was saved, I really didn't think there was too much wrong with me. Amen. I was a bold somebody. I'd go around and say, I can count my sins on one finger. That used to be my testimony. But all I had to do was just keep living. Am I by myself in here? Am I the only one, amen, that the Lord has had to reach way down and pick way up? It's craziness to continue to do the same thing and think something different is going to happen. I've heard people say, I'm going to change. But nothing changes in their life, so nothing changes in their life. If you truly want real, genuine change in your life, why don't you change something today? I've been singing, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, amen, for the past 20 New Year's resolutions. But guess what? Ain't nothing changed. Because ain't nothing changed. I still eating the wrong stuff. I still, amen, I'm not at the gym as often as I ought to be. And I'm laughing, but amen, I'm making up in my mind, it's about to be some changes. Amen. Y'all gonna be looking at me, amen, soon and very soon. And it ain't gonna be because I'm sick. It's gonna be because I've been working out. Amen. We're gonna have to take these robes, amen, and cut them down. And I can get two robes out of this robe. I wanna change. Can I tell y'all something that will help to bring about change? Prayer. Did you hear what I said? I said prayer. Some of y'all are looking for change, but one thing you need to change your prayer life. You know how to, amen, email, and you know how to text folk. And let some mess come up, amen. You know how to Facebook folk and tweet folk, and you know how to get in touch with folk, but your problem is you have not figured out how to get in touch with God. But I know I've got two or three witnesses in this house today who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you really want change, prayer changes things. Can I get a witness here? I said prayer will change things. And can I tell you something? It doesn't have to be eloquent. It just ought to be honest. It just ought to be sincere. Amen. Sometimes you got to pray like the old deacons used to pray. They hadn't been to the finest schools. Some of them had been to anybody's schools, and the grammar would be all bad. No sophistication in how they prayed, but they had honesty and sincerity in their hearts, and they knew how to grab hold of the horns of the altar and have a little talk with Jesus, and he would work it out. Is there anybody here